Written at the top of this page, the mystery of the cross. It's a bit of a pretentious title, because the mystery of the cross is unknowable, really, in a sense, at least to try to describe it in words. Anyway, what I would like to point out to begin with is that none of you is here by accident. None of you. And it also is not as a result of haphazard circumstances that millions and millions of believing Christians, including us who are here this morning, should be looking back in thankful wonder as we spend a little time considering an event and meditating on an event which stands at the very heart and the center not only of the history of the world, but of the universe itself. In fact, I would argue that creation actually owes its existence to the good pleasure of God the Father, who works out everything in conformity with his pleasure and will. And his good pleasure meant that he wanted to redeem errant sinners. It was a work of redemption. As Nick said one day, he wanted a family. John chapter 1 begins with this mysterious statement concerning Jesus Christ, by whose all-powerful word the creation of the world was brought into being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. So, this act of creation, which speaks to us of God's glory and the splendor of his being, as we look around us, had a more important plan and purpose for the whole world, a plan of redemption. And that plan and purpose was to be the expression of the yearning love of God for humankind, revealed to helpless sinners in the cross of Jesus. In the first chapter of the letter of Peter that was read to us this morning, he says, "For you know that it was not with corruptible things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without defect." He was chosen from before the creation of the world. You get your mind around this. But has been revealed in these last times for your sake. Now, this word revealed suggests the revelation of a mystery. Yes, and only the Holy Spirit of God can convince any any person who is say an unbeliever, for example, if you spoke like, well, people are shackled, aren't they, by the chains of sin that this precious Lamb of God hanging there in the darkness as his life ebbs away is paying the cost of his or her transgressions. Charles Wesley puts it like this, and I think we're going to sing this hymn very shortly. Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And this precious Lamb of God will be revealed to repentant sinners all over the world at this Easter time. And God the Holy Spirit will bring many sons and daughters to glory. And they will be welcomed into this, his eternal family. And his purpose in the creation of the world will be fulfilled yet again and again and again. And there will be rejoicing in heaven. And of course, when we respond to the love of God by receiving Christ as our Redeemer and Lord, we are joined inseparably with Jesus and with one another. We are brought into the heart of his family, cherished and redeemed. Remember what Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and his daughters, in accordance with his pleasure and will, according to his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Oh, he has blessed us. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was chosen before the creation of the world. So was I. So were you. In Christ, that's what this phrase, in Christ, actually means. Not because of any virtue or merit of mine, God knows, but because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But I have to admit that on this day, the day we call Good Friday, I look back in my mind to that scene in Gethsemane, as Jesus struggled with the temptation that was almost overwhelming. Matthew tells us, so does Mark, that he said to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." This is killing me. Take this cup away from me. And as the sweat, like great drops of blood, fell to the ground, He prayed, yet not what I want, not my will, but yours. And I look at myself. The honest truth is, the inevitable question I asked myself was, I worth it, Lord? Couldn't you have just slipped quietly away in the dark and found a place of safety and shelter? Perhaps in the house of Martha and Mary and Bethany. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, thy love beyond compare, a love that reaches deeper than depths of self-despair. Teach me until there gloweth in this cold heart of mine some feeble, pale reflection of that great love of thine. In love, says the apostle, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us with all rich wisdom and understanding. As we already have seen, Peter's letter tells us that Christ, the Lamb of God, was chosen before the creation of the world. Just think back. Just think back about this tremendous act of creation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not just the physical creation, but what is in the mind of the triune God before the world came into being? Well, we were. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the water. God said, let there be light. There was light. And from that time on, from the very beginning of our Bibles, we can see the sacrifice for sins being reenacted time after time. As Nick was saying, I think it was last night, I've lost track of time and so on, I'm getting a bit busted now, you know. The blood over the lintel of the door, which rescued the Israelites from the angel of death, from the judgment of God. Abel offering the lamb. Abraham offering Isaac. God providing his own sacrifice time after time after time. And you know, I was sitting with our late son Paul shortly before the Lord took him from us. And we used to, he loved to look at the Word of God. He loved to discuss the Bible with me. And we were actually looking at Psalm 40. And we came to that verse. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They're more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails within me. And Paul said, that's Jesus. That's Jesus, Dad. Swamped by the sins of this world, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be made the righteousness of God. This is the revelation that Peter's talking about. He was revealed in these last times for your sakes. Incidentally, got a message this morning from John Kangombe, who at this very moment is standing proclaiming the gospel in a place called Liwondi, which is dominated by Muslims. And 50 church planters have gone out with him on a crusade, going around all the villages, calling people to come to this great meeting, gospel meeting. And many, many people in that Muslim-dominated area will come to Christ today. And this crusade, funded by a fund which Paul set up before he was taken. And it's a source of constant joy and wonder to me. And I think time and time again of that tremendous verse in John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he who lives and believes in me will never die. And the cross of Jesus Christ continues to tower above the history of the world. It towers up. What does Paul say? That Christ, the one who ascended, descended, is the very one who ascended to fill all the universe. And I said when we were praying before, we sit here at the very center of the universe. The history of the world is not about these wars and all the terrible things. It's about the cross of Jesus. That's why the world was created. So that the cross of Jesus, redeeming love, could be planted in this poor, benighted world. And that he should reap the harvest he has sown. He was revealed in these last times for your sake. My prayer is that at this Easter time, we may receive a fresh revelation of the love of God our Father expressed in the cross of Christ, and experience the power and energy of the Holy Spirit to the praise of his glorious grace. We may receive a fresh revelation of the love of God the Father. Actually, I was thinking very much about this verse, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And thinking about the purpose in the heart of Jesus as just perhaps an hour before he was arrested, he prayed for us on the edge of the Kidron Valley. On his way to the garden, he stopped to pray. And this is what he prayed. He prayed for us. This was the yearning. This was from the beginning, before the world began. This was his prayer. My prayer is not for them alone, the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. He called it the glory that you gave me before the world began. That they may be one. This is the glory. I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. As I said, we, as a fellowship, sit at the very center of the world's creation. And to fulfill the will of Christ, and in a sense, the answer to the prayer, last prayer of Jesus, it's here. It abides with us. How sweet and pleasant a thing it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. Just like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard, the priest, the pastor, and the collar of his robes. It is as if dew were falling from Mount Hermon on Zion. And it's there that the Lord bestows his blessing when brothers and sisters live in unity, even life forevermore. God bless.